Podcasting 2.0 for June 27, 2025, episode 226, Tech Neck. Hello, everybody. Time once again for the board meeting. Yep, it's where all the luminaries gather together for Podcasting 2.0. We discuss it all. What's happened, what is happening, and what will still happen. Yes, it's all right here. In fact, we are the only boardroom that will actually miss the blue screen of death. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who always has an antenna emanating signal waves. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Mr. Dave Jones.
You pulled that one off.
I stumbled
a little bit,
I heard it, but it was still good. I mean, like, you were trying to do a complex rotation.
Very complex, yes, because it's an antenna emanating signal waves, which is an example in the podcast images tag. I was like, that is very cool.
I don't think I could even type that, much less say it on the fly.
Oh, man.
It's funny. Like, we're talking to our top secret guest.
Our guest, yeah, our secret guest, yes.
Pre-show. Mm-hmm. And then in the live stream in the boardroom, see, Brooklyn said, "Girl?" Question mark. Like, wait, a girl voice in the boardroom?
We have a girl on the show? No way. Have we ever had a girl on the show before?
Yeah, Dame Jennifer.
Oh, yes, that's true. You're right.
I think that's the only one, right?
It's kind of atrocious, and it's not.
It's horrible.
We're terrible. It's not like it's us. I mean, it's just they don't show up. I mean, you know, maybe it is us, and that's why they don't show up. I don't know.
I'll wait to tell you my accidental misogyny story until we invite her into the board.
You only have one?
This is the accidental misogyny.
On purpose misogyny.
Yeah,
story.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of those, but this is the accidental one. Yeah.
I got it. By the way, I mentioned the opening, but did you notice that Microsoft has indeed said they are going to remove the blue screen of death?
And
the frowny
face. Replace it with what?
I don't know. Let me see what they say about that. But you know the blue scroll. You know what the blue screen is. I don't have to tell.
Oh yeah,
I mean they're going to replace it with. Are you ready for it?
A purple screen of death.
The black screen of death.
No God.
But it won't have the frowny face. That I have to say is the most insulting thing I've ever seen on a computer. Is that
you have always been very annoyed by patronizing error messages. It drives you up the wall. Like I remember one time you said that, like, how annoyed you were with that Chrome when it doesn't error says oops.
And has with the X's on the eyes.
This irritates you.
Yes, it's insulting. I want a detailed log.
Give me a log file.
I want to know what's going on. Yeah, man. I've become a log man. Wait, I should probably rephrase that.
Why do you do that? Like 8 minutes into the show.
And we haven't even introduced our girl guest. I know.
We've already got a show title in the boardroom.
Log man.
It's just ridiculous. That's out of control. This is out of control.
But I have the importance of logs and having a log that spits out and grepping, just for what you want to see. It's phenomenal. I really love it. I am a developer, Dave. Be careful.
You are. You are becoming more of a developer on a daily basis. You're starting to talk like one. So that's in chat, you're starting to do the lingo and stuff. I'm a huge fan of. I think this is important progress in your personal development.
I would agree. And man, again, the AI. I have a new the AI is a new acronym for me. That's ready for it.
Another one. Another one.
Because I first had Almighty Intelligence, but now AI is Accelerated Idiocracy. That's my new. That's my new acronym for AI.
It's a little complex.
It's so stupid. It really is. It's so stupid. You ask it the simplest things, and it'll go off and just add stuff. The other day, I had a perfectly good script. I had a dry run option, which is great. So, okay, this is what it's going to do. All right, this makes sense. So then I removed the dry run option and it doesn't work. I'm like, what's going on?
And for some reason, it decided to just comment out the base URL with a little comment that says, add actual URL here when ready to deploy.
But that's terrible.
And it had changed the URL that it was. So it was the correct URL. And it for, you know, the API endpoint, they just commented out with something different and said, but replace this with the, that can only be stupid AI cut and paste from some other script it had that it found something and just added it in for no reason.
I
have stumped you.
That's what happens when it tries to go like off script, and it's just grabbing stuff from other, because we still forget that this thing is just pulling. It's just pulling things from other material that's already seen before. Like when it tries to freestyle, it just goes completely off the rails. If you're not giving it something it can understand in small, tiny, bite-sized chunks.
But I would say that the real issue is that it does that all the time. It literally does that all the time. It's always pulling stuff from somewhere. And unless you explicitly say, do not do this, only change this. If you don't do that, then it'll just do stuff. But forget all that. It's made me a pretty good code debugger. That's why I love the log files. Yeah. Why is it giving me this output? Oh, okay. I see. So we all celebrated 20 years of podcasting on Apple, which somehow no one tagged me, which is okay.
I was looking for you in the list of podcasts.
Yeah, no, forget about it. So to celebrate in our own way, I figured I would play the my favorite video of Steve Jobs, may he rest in peace, when he introduced podcasting in front of Walt Mossberg. And Kara Swisher at the D3 conference in 2005. A mere hours after he and I had a personal one-on-one private meeting.
Just if you were to eventually get into selling paid audio stuff.
You could try to sell podcasts, but the whole phenomenon is so great it's free. Okay. And I think what we're going to see is an advertising-supported model emerge just like free radio. Here's another one. Adam Curry is one of the guys that invented podcasting. And he has a podcast called The Daily Source. Let me go ahead and subscribe to that. And we can go listen to his latest one.
And wait for it. Your daily source code, show number 180.
Something remarkable is happening here. Radio is springing free of the regulated gatekeepers who've managed what you can hear since radio was invented. It's jumping into the hands of anyone at all with something or nothing to say.
$16 million worth of airplane strapped to my ass. Transmitters? The next generation radio content in my ears.
We don't need no stinking transmitter.
I like to think I'm flying into the future. Podcasting is Adam Curry.
That's right, it's show number 180, and it's Friday, everybody. Thank God.
The power of your
influence. I've actually had to restart the show 3 times. My Mac has been acting up like a motherfucker. I don't know what's going on. I think it's something to do with the file system.
Okay.
Now, wait for Kara Swisher. What does she go to right away?
How do you control, say, dirty stuff? I mean,
we're going to have an explicit flag on these like we do the music, so you can...
Shut up, Kara, with your dirty stuff.
Yeah. Censorship.
By the way, if you ever listen to Pivot, she has the dirtiest mouth of all on the podcast. It's unbelievable.
Always horrible.
Always dropping F-bombs.
Now, one question I've always had about that clip...
Yes.
Is, was Steve... Did he do that episode on purpose?
100%.
That felt like a manufactured shock.
He knew exactly what he was doing. No doubt about it. Because people say, well, wow, man, that shows you how a live demo can go wrong. I'm like, no. No, he did this on purpose. Oh yeah, he knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah,
he's not the kind of guy who does something on stage without rails.
No kidding. Everything is rehearsed. Everything is down to the last minute. And have I ever told you about the private meeting? You probably heard some of it.
A little bit. Yeah.
So, you know, Eddie Q, he called. He says, hey, you got time for a meeting with Steve? But yeah, nah, let me check my calendar, Eddie Q. Let me check. Yes.
See if I can fit it in.
But, you know, right. He greeted me at the door. There was a private like conference room. This was in San Diego, I think, at the D3 conference. And right away, I'm like, wow, he's lankier. He has a little bit of a hunch in his back, and he has a lisp. I'd never noticed the lisp before. And right away, it's like, what can we do to make podcasting better? How can we help out? I'm like, well, you can do stuff like don't break Audio Hijack Pro, which those guys, they found out about years later, because that the RIAA wanted them to disable that so you could record directly from, you know, from your Mac. Said, don't break that.
Yeah. That was back in the days of when the MPAA was also trying to crack down on DVD encryption
exactly.
key.
And all of that stuff. And then he kicked Eddie Q out. And then it was just the two of us. He said, you know, we've been watching you.
Creepy.
Through my Mac? He says, no. We saw that you were using your Mac drive. You can remember those days. You could mount it on your desktop. Remember that? A Mac drive, it would show up as a little volume. And he says, you know, you've been serving your MP3s from there. I said, yeah. He says, so we noticed the bandwidth just going crazy. And then he came to, and somehow it got to me. And I said, no, just let him go. Let's see what he's doing. So he took credit for that. I'm sure part of it at least is true. So I appreciated that. And then it was like, you know, but it just asked all these questions. And then it was the craziest thing. He's like, well, I really just want to ask you if it's okay if we put podcasting into iTunes and the iPod. I'm like, is this guy actually asking me? What, do you want my blessing? I didn't say that, but I was thinking. I said, yeah, sure. He said, okay, good. And I said, and I'll give you the directory. We have about 5,000 podcasts in our directory, OPML. The open OPML dot iPodder.org. That was a OPML. What do you call the? What is that called? Where you
in inclusion?
With inclusions. Yeah. So I had country managers, and each of those country managers had their own, you know, like for tech, for politics, etc. And everybody was just creating their own OPML file, and we using it as includes. And so you could start at the top, and then you could just drill down. It would always be a fresh listing. It was a pretty cool idea.
No, that's great when the list is only, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand.
It got unwieldy.
It works perfectly. Yeah.
And so, of course, then when they debuted it, the big disappointment was, look at the homepage. Oh, NPR, BBC, you know, it had all mainstream stuff. And it was really the independent people who had built it. And that was definitely a disappointment. But they had already
built it all out. He was just wanting, like,
totally.
It sounds like to me what he wanted was
Cotton Gin. I can't sell out if I didn't get any money for it.
There was no
money changed hands.
Yeah, your big podcast checks are still rolling in these days. You know?
Yeah, there are people who think I'm a billionaire. Oh man, you must have made
from
a billion.
Podcasting.
Yeah, must have made a billion off that once Apple bought podcasting from you. So, okay, yeah, sure.
Let's see. You made one RSS tag. We've made like 20 something. We should be like the 20 billionaires.
Oh, easily. Yeah. The check is in the mail, baby.
Yeah. But like I guess the thing it seems clear that what he wanted by doing that song and dance where he brings you in and asks your blessing or whatever is he wants to turn you into an advocate for,
of course,
what they're doing.
Yeah. And I would say without a doubt, Microsoft might have done it with the Zune, but Apple, you know, we were using the iPod. That was the whole point. That was the whole point of what are we drinking? Pabst Blue Ribbon?
This is a bubbly, B-U-B-L-Y. orange cream.
That is Michael Bublé's drink.
It's a Bublé.
You've never seen him do the ads for it?
Bublé? Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Bublé. I'm drinking a Bublé orange cream. Top notch. Yeah. Top notch.
We have a special guest who I'd like to bring in, if it's okay with you, Mr. Jones.
Open the door.
Okay. Our guest today is Chief Strategy Officer at SoundStack, my favorite person I've ever had a meeting with that didn't result in business, and the best name for any on-air position in radio or podcasting.
Rocky Thomas.
Rocky Thomas. Yeah, I did some actual production. Rocky Thomas.
Wow, my gosh. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. You can put it on your phone as a ringtone.
WWF intro music.
I felt like I was back in the booth. That's awesome.
Now, did I get it all right there, Rocky? You are the chief strategy officer.
Yes, you did. What? And just to make sure, I am a girl, just in case anyone's curious. I am a girl.
Yes.
We thought so.
Yeah, we figured.
We were pretty sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you've had all these cool titles like Chief Strategy Officer, Chief Revenue Officer. None of this used to exist back in the day. I always thought it was made up stuff. But
no,
you have it's a real job, and it's a real job. And yeah. I'm always happy to see, because I think you're just a radio geek like myself. I'm always happy to see someone do something kind of related in the industry.
Yeah, it's been, I would say that my what I'm known for is I like startups. I love audio. I love radio, and I'm really good at making money. That's kind of like the
you're hired.
You're ready to go. And I do like I'm very good at explaining things that are not in the market yet and trying to make it, you know, normal for people to understand it. So I'm kind of like the translator. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
that's an important role.
It is.
It is. And it's, I would say that, you know, when I first started streaming with broadcast.com with Mark Cuban's company, oh my gosh, I'm going way back.
Oh, stop.
Yikes.
Because
yes,
we just had a meeting where this came up. Now, broadcast.com was just basically a big hoax, wasn't it?
They were using the Real Media server, which is probably why I aged 10 years in one.
Yeah,
it was like, I think it was 16K. And he came in to all the radio groups and said, hey, listen, I'll stream you for free, but I'm taking all your ad inventory. He was actually doing like pre-rolls on that. And then perhaps one of the smartest guy. I mean, he made what, $3.2 billion on that deal?
Well, he sold it. That was the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always felt it was just about the domain name. Broadcast.com. That everyone's going to go to broadcast.com. They'll never go to radio.com or anything else.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually was selling it or he sold the idea of it, but the fact that he had advertising tied around it. And I remember when he sold, I was at a Radio Inc. conference and the guy was glowing. I mean, he just got paid $3.2 billion. Who isn't? And he literally sat there and was telling all of these radio CEOs, you want to know how I made this money? I made it off of your content.
Wow.
And I'm like, my job just got easier. That's awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, I would say I started developing in the late 90s on this. And then I actually used to develop websites and do all this fun stuff. But I would say I've gone well between the tribes, meaning I absolutely still love over the air radio. I just got back from Europe for a show called Red Tech, which is all the C-level guys over in the radio groups and from Europe. And it's kind of crazy because radio is alive and well over there. I mean, you go to Netherlands and everything pretty frequently, Adam. I mean, they're still in the DAB. They still promote their shows. I would say podcasting is just starting to kind of emerge on that side. I would say UK is definitely ahead of the game. But it's
Germany.
It's exciting.
I saw
in Germany. Oh yeah, Germany's a huge
better.
Market. Yep, they're doing really well as well.
The Netherlands has a very tight radio culture because of its size, and you basically have a signal. You got repeaters everywhere, so you have a signal across the whole country, and so the car radio listening is still huge.
It is. Every taxi I was in, they're still listening to FM. I did not see one Spotify. Mm. I did not see anybody, and we're talking, you know, young to old, everything else that was being driven around. And it's just interesting because it's, you know, we kind of have that different philosophy here in the States. But, you know, yeah, I would say I've been very lucky. my parents probably thought I was, you know, peddling porn and growing weed in the mountains for the first, like, you know, 20 years. Cause they're like, you don't have a real job. And I was like, no, it's going to be a real thing, Mom. I tell you, it's going to be great. You're going to be proud of me one day. So.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been good. And I would say it probably like around 2012, 2010 is like when podcasting and everything started to, you know, have some sort of fruition, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah. It was only 7 years later. I mean,
Yeah.
If not it longer.
It was brutal, but you know, so chief revenue officer, chief strategy officer, I've been selling a lot and I wanted to kind of move more into playing with folks like you. I'm trying to strategize this industry a little bit better so I can figure out how I can get what you like to call the PIC, the podcast industrial complex, working with the IP. I call it the IPC, the independent podcast creator. So I'm trying to kind of, you like that? I thought it was a pretty good saying. So trying to figure out how we can kind of, you know, get the standards more out there and promote them. I recently did a little IEB call with the Audio Lab trying to explain, you know, some of the podcasting 2.0 new stuff that's coming out. And
they were like, huh? What?
Well, it was interesting. I think that really what I was trying to explain is, you know, the standard that we did with downloads, because I was part of that standard in like writing that in 2014. And we released it in 2016.
You worked at IAB, didn't you?
No. I just co-chaired the group. Torturous. I'm sure a lot of people who are listening were on that with me. It was 2 years to trying to figure out what we were doing. And I thought it was going to be ephemeral, quite frankly. I thought the download standard was going to be like a 3-year deal just because I just thought it was going to go to streaming a lot faster. And it's 9 years later, we're still kind of talking, and that's fine. I mean, we have a stable currency. It's kind of like, I look at it as like the US dollar versus crypto. I mean, it's very stable-ish. And I think that,
it's just as much of a scam as the US dollar. Yeah. I like that comparison. Exactly.
It's a scam, but it's a scam. Everybody understands.
Yeah. A stable scam. That, yes.
And I would say that I would love consumption metrics. I mean, that's what we do on the linear streaming side. I kind of understand that. That's why I've been really excited about some of the latest, the latest developments in, you know, within podcasting 2.0. I'm a huge fan of like what we're doing right now, live broadcasting. I think it works for certain shows. I don't think it's going to work for all shows, but I think I look at it like if I was a high school kid and I wanted to like broadcast my local high school sports, I would be totally using this because I could broadcast live and I can archive it. It's just, there's a lot of opportunity which is really cool.
And that's kind of what's interesting is that I find it's, we're really lacking on young people getting into podcasting because of the, well, I just do an IG live or I do a TikTok or do whatever. And, you know, as long as I get like, by the way, Rocky is in the splits for today's show. So show her some love, boost in. I don't think she's ever seen the magic that is receiving sats. It's you're really going to love it. The streaming sats is, you know, get your Fountain app and look at it right now. You should already be getting sats.
All right, I'm looking.
And at least I hope.
That's where everything falls down.
It's amazing any of this stuff works at all. But it's like, are kids still into the idea of live radio broadcasting or live audio broadcasting, or do they, I mean, it seems like everyone's just, well, certainly live has got to be video and I got to be on my phone, got to be turning it around and doing this stuff. I mean, what are you seeing out there?
You know, I would agree. I would definitely say that it's become, with the Gen Z folks, especially, it's definitely become more of a visual medium to them. But I also see the other side. I think it's kind of split. I think you have some kids who are going to sit on the couch and watch videos all day and, you know, and doom scroll or scroll into reels forever. And then I look at my own kids who are in that, you know, the age group who they're busy. They're podcast first listeners because they're riding horses. They're doing stuff outside. So I think you're always going to have that split of kids who want to, you know, consume. And I also think that now you're starting to see more digital distribution of on the video side with live sports. Mm-hmm. I hate to be overly optimistic, but I do believe that live is going to come back just because if we can figure out a way that we can get social commenting happening at the same time where they have that involvement, because that's really the bread and butter of that generation is the ability to engage with content live. I think that's going to unlock. And I know that has... a lot of problems around it. But I think that's, I mean, look at this show. This is what makes it exciting. The boardroom. I mean, even No Agenda is the same way. It's that, being able to interact with that community. Is it going to work for every single, like, could I see like Radiolab wanting to do something like this? No. I mean, they're more into the whole sonic sound and the design, and they're more.
Radio lab. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys.
Yes, that. But I think there's a place for it. But I think certain shows, it's definitely going to be an additive, and it's going to really drive that live element. And I think some stuff is just not going to work. It's just, I could say the same thing about the video. I mean, if I'm putting, I don't know, like some sort of like serial, for instance, on YouTube, it's not just called a documentary. I mean, it's right. just, so I right, think there's yeah. going to be certain formats that are going to work with it. But I think what the strength of what we're doing, you know, in the podcasting 2.0 is just giving people those options. I think where we need to kind of focus on moving forward is like, how do we have the conversations and the marketing and really translating that to the consumer? Because it is kind of feeling, you know, it's still kind of geeky, you know, and it's really, it's tough. It's just like crypto, because everyone has a different word for everything. Yeah. And how can we make it into something that people can consume, easily digest, try to use, you know, words that they understand, like chat, you know? And I think that's where we kind of need to move forward a little bit more, but I'm pretty excited. I think Gen Z is going to hop onto this. I think that they're just right now not really into they're into the video side, but that's also going to go away as they become adulting and they realize they can't sit in front of a screen all day.
How old are your kids, Rocky? How many do you have?
I have two, 22 and 20.
Oh, goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got 23, 21 and 15. And, the 23 and the 21 are like the 23 year old. She listens to podcasts, yeah. a lot. The 21 year old doesn't, but he's like, they were heavy in TikTok world for a while. And then they both told me, they're like, we don't ever look at TikTok anymore. That the TikTok thing has sort of,
it
peaked, and now it's just everybody went back to Instagram is basically what
I would
happened.
Totally agree with that. That's what my kids are pretty social light. We were kind of, I wouldn't say we're overprotective parents, but I would say that tend to be slightly conservative parents. And so, even though we were both in technology, it's probably the reason why we're so,
that's
gated.
Why. Yeah. Yeah.
We're pretty gated about it, but, I would say I would totally agree with you. The comments I get, both of them never downloaded TikTok because, you know, we scared them about, you know, China is going to have all your data. I mean, but I would say that what I've been hearing is that now it's just TikTok shops. It's gotten over commercialized. Yeah. And let me tell you, for a person who's kind of an ad tech girl, I definitely believe in balancing the content with the message. If you are going to do advertising, it's killing me a little bit right now when I'm hearing the expanding spot loads are happening on podcasts, because my inner sales manager is like, you need to increase rate. You don't need to increase your supply. You know, it's like, keep the supply constricted, but it's really hard because everybody else is doing it and they want to go ahead and make sure they're making as much money. And that's where it does make me sad. And I would say that a lot of these guys who do personal endorsements should take a page from the radio guys, because the radio guys were really good about personal endorsements. They would change the creative like all the time. They had three different demos. I mean, have you ever heard personal endorsement on the over-the-air radio side back in the day? It was always changing. I feel that being as creative as they should be, they should really, if they are going to be doing personal endorsement, which I do absolutely love because it does work, it needs to have a better thought about how you're going to constantly, so it doesn't burn out. And so there's little elements like that kind of, I'm hoping that we're going to get better, not worse.
SoundStack does programmatic though. So you do you regulate that internally? I mean, do you have your own limits? If somebody says, hey, we want to stick 17 ads in this, hour and a half program, are y'all like, no, we're not.
No, at the end of the day, this is where we're very much aligned with like independence, and it's up to the publisher to decide what they want to do with their content. We're just the positive enablers to help them make money, create the pipes between supply and demand, provide the hosting, the analytics, the metrics, but we don't ever want to put our, like our philosophies. We definitely try to guide, like whenever I'm talking to publisher, I'm like, hey, your spot rate's getting a little bit heavy. You know, your spot load. And I really try to help them and, you know, shepherd them into that. But at the end of the day, it's not for us to tell publishers what they do, what kind of content they have. I mean, that's why, I mean, the Open Standards Project is really, you know, great. I we are big supporters of that. And it's up to the publisher. I just wish they wouldn't do it. I mean, that's all. But we don't dictate what the publishers do.
How many, so SoundStack does a lot of different things. Yes. You want to just run down for us and let us know what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that first and foremost, we're, you know, hosting a distribution company. We go both ways. We do streaming and all the other, you know, IC and HLS and all that fun stuff, as well as podcasting on demand and even stuff in between. Like someone might have a fast channel that they want to go ahead and make a podcast and keep the ad, the SCUDI markers in there. We can actually take a video channel, make it an audio channel. We just recently did AP News where they had a whole bunch of like small bites of news, and we created a linear station for that. So we like to manipulate, you know, content to the benefit of the publisher so they can get as much listener consumption as possible. Kind of like create it once and, you know, find an audience for it everywhere. So that's definitely core. With that definitely comes all of the analytics and all of the listener metrics and all the fun stuff on that. And then we also are very strong in ad technology and ad tech. So SSPs, ad servers, all the demand and supply connections, direct ad serving if people want that as well. We have our own stack on that. And then we also provide, a lot of people don't know this, but we're also the owners of Live 365. Which have over 4,500 creators on there. So and they're smaller creators, a lot of churches, some religion. We also have a lot of college stations or people who just want to do 24/7, I don't know, Wagnerian opera, who knows? I mean, it's like, if you're into that or, you know, so you have a lot of those type of stations on there. And what makes us different with Live 365 is that we actually cover all the royalties with the professional rights organizations. So that's like ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, Sound Exchange. We have licensing in Canada. We just fired up Mexico as well. So it's kind of like a one-stop shop. You get the play out, the encoder. I think, Adam, you have one of your stations. I think Fred FM's on there as well. So.
Hello, Fred.fm. Yeah, baby.
Yes, I'm going to give you a little plug. And so we work with very large, you know, publishers and enterprise level, but we also work with the smaller creators as well. So the only thing we don't do is that we don't create our own content. So we enable it. So we don't have any type of content, and we don't ever sell directly. So we don't ever want to compete with our publishers. We just want to make them successful.
So what is the biggest piece of the business? Is it the ad market?
I would say that it's about 50-50. We break it up into platform, as we like to say, which would be more of the hosting distribution. And then the other side would be marketplace. It's about a 50-50 split that we're at right now.
Interesting. So
you're a hosting company because you host podcasts directly.
Yes. Yes, we do.
And you also do provide services to other podcast hosting companies.
Yes. Like, for instance, I mean, Todd's been very public. We do provide programmatic services for like Blueberry, for example. And it's interesting because we are, what's a little bit different that a lot of folks may not know is that we're 100% self-funded. We don't have any investment. And so we have over 80 full-time employees. And we're really like that independence because I've been through companies where they start getting even minority majority investment, and your roadmap kind of gets a little bit, you know, wonky because, you know, that's what they want to do and they're your investors. So we've really tried to keep it independent. I say our best ideas come from publishers or the industry. We're like, hey, we need a solve for this. So we really do try to solve problems in the industry as much as we possibly can, especially if it's going to help a whole bunch of publishers. So, so we're a little bit different on that, but it is definitely, I would say, different when you are self-funded than if you have investment money, for sure.
Is that get tricky? Does that get to be a complicated relationship sometimes between
your
hosting and you helping the hosts? I mean, like,
well, yeah, but at the end of the day, we don't ever put our, we provide services. Sometimes, it's crazy. We work with pretty much everybody in the industry, even the big walled garden guys. And it just depends on what they need. Sometimes they just need one of our elements. Like we have this one product called Splice that allows you to take a linear stream and then chunk it up either via metadata triggers or time triggers to make it on demand or into a podcast format. Sometimes people just use us for our licensing and royalty API. So since we have to pay royalties, we've gotten really, really good at going through all those log files and all the performances and making sure you're not getting charged for like a promo when it's not. Because right. Let me tell you, RAAA doesn't come back and say, hey, listen, you had 10,000 promos. We got to give you money back. They don't do that. So it's really kind of making sure that we definitely want creators to get paid. And that includes musicians. But we just want to make sure that it's being accurate. So a lot of folks just use us for one element and then we're fine with that. You don't have to take the full stack. So it's just because you host with us does not mean you have to be in marketplace. I mean, we actually host a lot of NPR stations who have nothing to do with the open marketplace, which is absolutely fine. It just really is about enabling the publisher to be successful. And it's tough right now. And we really try to keep how much money we make and our margins like as skinny as possible, because we know that if we charge publishers too much that they go away, we no longer, and we don't have podcasters and we don't have radio stations, we really no longer have an industry. So it's really making sure that we're keeping the vibrancy going on that side and keeping it healthy.
Were you ever behind the mic in radio?
Okay, so.
You think, Dave, you think.
So I did a stint once and it was totally for a free ski pass in Colorado because the Colorado Ski Country was looking to lobby group and they were looking for a show. So of course the salesperson's like, we could sell this. So I used to do it was called Fresh Tracks. It was like five o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'll be honest with you, it was totally just so I could get, I was poor. I just started in radio. I had no money and I wanted a free lift ticket to all the ski resorts in Colorado. So I did that for 2 years, but not ever like I would say as a full-time gig. No.
Surprising.
Should I?
color me surprised.
So I first heard of you, and I'm sure you get this a lot, because I heard Todd Cochran talking about you, that he had met you somewhere at a podcast conference. He's like, yeah, Rocky Thomas and Rocky Thomas this and Rocky Thomas about the chapter art and image and this and Rocky. And I'm like, who is this dude? I got to meet this dude. And of course, it was you. So you have a lot of ideas about some of the 2.0 tags or the namespace tags that we've worked on that we have in use. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was interesting. I was looking at the chapters and when I saw that, you know, it was sometimes some things are so obvious you don't think about it, but I was like, yeah, talking to Todd and I'm like, wait, okay. So those chapters are actually pinging something, right? So it's pulling an image from someplace. See, I am not as technical as you guys. I am like C-. I understand concepts, but I can bring down a network, but I can't bring one back up if that tells you anything. So it's like, I understand. I'm like the worst person you ever want to have work for you. Cause I get into stuff I shouldn't be, but I'm like, listen, if the image is getting pulled, then we actually can use that as ad tracking. I mean, that's basically display advertising back in the day before we started doing pixel tracking. And so I was like, this is actually could be a different way that we could look at advertising attribution. Now, the challenge comes in with advertising is always comes down to privacy, you know, and if you're and then basically combing through those log files and finding everything, it makes it a little bit kind of old school. But I think the concept there, I look at it for a couple different ways on the image files for chapters is that we could also utilize that for consumption measurement. It's and you know, I know John Spurlock's doing a lot of fun stuff, too. And I think we all have a lot of really good ideas out there. I'm really trying to figure out how can we have common language in the industry for downloads is what we're at right now, which is fine. Yes. Is it ugly baby right now? Sure. I mean, but I think it's the baby that we have. And I want to though, figure out, okay, how can we over the next couple of years start going to more of a consumption? Cause I think it's better for the creators to get a good understanding of of like how their content's resonating with the audience. And then also from an advertising standpoint, if that is what you want to go ahead and do. But I think that there's always going to be the challenge of walled gardens. And you know, you also have other companies like Bumper who are doing, you know, API pulls from YouTube and Spotify based on content byte ranges, where if there's an ad in there, you're kind of verifying it. So we have a lot of language going on right now, which is fine. I think that's great. I just think we have to come to some sort of consensus. Is it total listening hours? That's one that we call it TLH on the streaming side. Is that something we want to look at, total listening minutes? I feel that we need to have some sort of common nomenclature so we can, you know, understand and describe our industry better to people who are not in the industry.
So what are your favorite things besides, so let's talk about Lit for a second, because right now we've been pushing Lit because, man, if only we could get some, you know, everyone to kind of think about this, it would do so much for radio. It's like such an open door. It baffles me that this is not all over the place.
I would totally agree. I think that, you know, what you guys are doing over at Godcaster, it's, when I saw your platform, I was like, yeah, that's exactly, you know, where we should be going. I think that radio in general is they're over leveraged. They bought a lot of sticks in the late 90s at 13 times cash flow. It's they're trying to figure out, and now they're having.
Let me translate, Rocky. What the boardroom is completely befuddled by your lingo.
Yeah. So, okay.
When you say sticks, you mean transmitters.
Transmitters. They bought a lot. Sorry, I feel like I'm just talking. Adam knows. Okay, so basically, they bought a lot of transmitters. They bought real estate at the worst time, at top of market, and it was after telecommunications. Act of 96, and then all this crazy stuff started happening. It was like a land grab. Unfortunately, what happened is that radio became more into real estate than they became into content. And you started seeing really bad declination of content and lack of focus on content on there. And so it pains me because I absolutely love the format of linear. I love all audio, really. But I mean, it just pains me to see like how much there's certain sparks. You know, you find certain stations in certain markets that still are carrying that great local torch for that market, but they have a challenge with it. And then I think they're just so overwhelmed that when you try to even bring in, I mean, shoot, I've been doing programmatic and they're just finally understanding this, you know, probably that past couple of years. And I've been talking to them for about 15 years about it. And so I think they're slow to adopt. But I do believe that if they understood the concepts of what live item tag could do for them, especially just on an ease of flow and work and like workflow efficiency, I think that it could be pretty incredible. I think that it actually could be something that they could utilize that would be easier for them to implement than probably what they're doing right now.
So
there's a lot of production.
How do we get that moving? I mean, it just seems like what you said, like they're now real estate guys and like, whatever. If they don't see the writing on the wall, yeah, sure. FM radio is still big. AM radio to some degree, although it's getting worse with EVs. I mean, but eventually, it just makes so much sense. The listeners want to transition. You know, I think the in-car experience is kind of getting there. You know, I think TuneIn, I don't know. What do you know about TuneIn? How did those guys blow it so bad?
Oh, man. And this pains me because I look at TuneIn as having like Malibu property and having a trailer on it. And the reason why I say that is that they literally, I mean, they did a big push like 15 years ago. I mean, they're in the cars, they're top level on, you know, Alexa. I mean, they have like the best real estate and like I call, you know, certain types of dashes, like if they're infotainment systems, or even in the smart speaker. And then they're letting the YP, which is Yellow Pages, I'm using old nomenclature from the Shoutcast days. It's an aggregation service. And it kills me that they're not being better stewards of that. And it's just because I think that would be a huge opportunity for local podcasting. If it was done in a way that you could be able to, you know, like say, hey, listen, I'm looking for things in Colorado, or I'm looking for whatever in Colorado and using location tag. And so I think that's another one of over leverage. It's, you know, they've been around. That was radio time. I think like Bill Moore started that back in 2003. And so it's been around for a while. So it does definitely have the legacy, but it's a YP that hasn't really been taken care of a lot lately, which is unfortunate. I'm hoping that they're going to turn it around because they do have the good real estate. They really do.
You mentioned the, y'all were talking about the Mark Cuban broadcast.com thing earlier. Do you think that it just kind of hit me hearing you talk about this. Do you think that the Mark Cuban broadcast.com type thing early on in the digital era, that happening so early, him sort of making $1 billion off of everybody else's product, do you think that put a bad taste in radio's mouth about digital in general?
Oh, and then put Napster on top of that, suing people. Yeah, I could tell you the worst years in our industry was 2003 to 2005. And people are like, how do you remember that? I'm like, because I was basically working for $7.45 for a startup to keep it afloat. That was Spatial Audio back in the day. I mean, nobody wanted to do streaming at all. It totally killed the market. Everybody pulled everything off. No one even wanted to do shoutcast streaming because they're afraid they're going to be sued by, you know, Fraunhofer with the MP3 codec. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember those days.
Everybody went to Windows Media. Oh, dear goodness. WMA files. I mean, God. Yeah. And I mean, it was really, really bad. And, you know, when you're poor and you don't have a job, what do? You make babies. So that's what I did. And so, it was really bad. I mean, you know, my husband's also in the industry. And I mean, we were just trying to stay in the industry because we saw the potential. But Dave, you're absolutely right. It really put a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And then XM came out and then they're like, oh, digital and satellite's going to kill. And it's always been a very defensive, you know, posture that the radio industry has had, unfortunately. And I think they kind of looked at podcasts like that for a while, a long time. Oh, it's like, it's just like everybody else who's coming after an audience instead of really embracing it and understanding. I will tell you that to answer your question a little bit back, Adam, like what would it take? I really do believe that doing social and chat around that's what FM is missing right now. That is what radio stations are missing around. I would say podcasts in general is missing. We have all this great content and things that I bookmark and, you know, and I tag and I write sticky notes of all these things that I learned. Cause you know, according to my app, I listen to about 19 to 20 hours of podcasts per week, which is kind of crazy. So but I get all this information, but I have no place to have a conversation around it, which is a real drag. I mean, how do you basically connect that community so we can all collaborate around that podcast episode? I mean, and right now we're hacking it with Mastodon and all these other little places that we're doing it. It's very decentralized and I don't know the solution, but I think that is the key to unlocking. I think that's why a lot of people go to YouTube because it has that there.
Now, so let me ask you, we have two different things. One is we have comments, which is the ever existing, never coming to fruition cross app comments. And then the second one is, Dave, do we have a tag for chat? Chat. And so what it's kind of defaulted to is, as certainly with the boardroom and with No Agenda, is this IRC chat, and we have a web IRC. And I think the only app it's a web app that shows it is CurioCaster. But when you say the interaction, you're talking about chat and not about comments, right?
Exactly. I mean, I think I think I would love to
YouTube
see
live,
chat.
The YouTube live type.
Yes, Twitch, I would think that would be great. Sort of, but I also would say that I think chat would be, because it's going to push people to interact live. That's going to be the reason why they're going to appointment set to go to your show.
I agree.
So they can interact. I think comments are fine. I mean, I think comments actually benefit the creator more than the person who's the consumer. I think comments also get a little bit, I like chat more. And it's like, I know you brought up IRC. I was like what was that program? ICU, the old IRC chat.
ICU and AIM.
Gosh, I'm dating myself. But there's also challenges with that, of course, you know, moderation. So
here's the problem. And it's part, it's really
ICQ. That's right.
ICQ. There it was. You go. Thank you. ICQ. Part of it is, we haven't been able to move forward because of disagreement over protocol. And of course everybody would like to have it decentralized. And it's just, so, you know, you have Matrix, you have, I guess Noster is a version of it. There's XMPP. And for whatever reason, that just never happens. And the only thing I can come up with, because I'm seeing basically, although it's Void Zero's system, No Agenda pays for the No Agenda stream that everybody's on, for the server the IRC is on, the IRC for the board. All of that is basically a centralized service that is funded by the grace of the people who donate to No Agenda. Wouldn't it be something fabulous if SoundStack just provided something like that, that people could just pay a few bucks for, get it, and then it works in their app? It's not decentralized, but for some reason, the decentralized part just isn't happening with chat. And I agree, because I see it. We had over 2,000 people in our, what I call the troll room, for No Agenda yesterday. I mean, it's really quite amazing. Even if it's 50, it's still cool. I mean, and
it is. And I would say that's kind of the challenge, I think, is that, you know, podcasting 2.0 is really based on decentralization, right? I mean, I'm definitely not as smart as you guys, but that's the idea. But now we are going to have centralized elements like HLS and streaming. It's unless you want to get to peer-to-peer, which it makes me a little, we've tried peering technologies and streaming in the past. They can kind of work, but it's not going to give you probably the stability that you want. I mean, when you press the button and you want to stream, you want to have consistency that it's always going to be there. So that's going to have to probably come from some form of a centralization of a server. I mean, to be honest. And I think some elements, as much as we want to decentralize it, which I'm a big fan of, I think there's going to be some things that we're going to have to centralize. And that's probably going to have to be standing up stream servers and possibly, chatting as well.
Well, you guys basically provide streaming servers. That's, yes, there's a win.
Yes.
Couldn't you just, I mean, I know it's like, hey, just bake that in. It's real easy. I'm sure it's not an engineering challenge at all.
I'm sure my product officer is going to love this. So I would say that we're always open to learning and figuring out better solutions for the industry. Because I think that, let's be honest, I mean, that would also be beneficial to Live 365, which we also do. I totally see where you're going on, Adam, on that. And it's just, that would be a whole nother area that we're not, I would say we're pretty good technologists. So I would say it's something that we could probably look at, you know, adopting, because I think overall it just makes it more people stay with the content longer, more people are listening. If they are doing advertising, that means more advertising money. If they're doing, you know, anything else, it's also, you know, consumption of content, which is also, you know, increases, you know, everything else that we're doing. So I definitely see the benefit across all sides of it. I think it's just, you know, is the community going to be open to having centralization on that?
Yes, 100%. It's just kind of like what's the term I'm looking for? It's not psychological, philosophical. Maybe it is more philosophical. It's almost,
I would say philosophical. Yeah, I think it's a lot of that.
It's almost like religion, you know.
It is. And I get it. I definitely get it. I mean, so the thing that I'm trying to understand then is that if we are doing a centralization on chat, then all of the apps would just be pulling from that, if the way I'm understanding right?
But it doesn't have to. See, that's ARPP in the boardroom is right. You can have a decentralized protocol and use it in a centralized way when necessary. So, I mean, like, that's essentially what podcasting is that. HTTP and RSS are the decentralized protocols, but you look at Buzzsprout and RSS.com and Blueberry and Transistor and all, these are points of centralization within a decentralized system. There's large amounts that are pulling from these centralized, you know, some of these more central sources, and that's fine, you know, because you don't have to do that. You know, you can move from one host to another if you want to, or you can self-host. So if a podcast wanted to self, I mean, the chat tag is there. And so it's there and it's so flexible, you can stick any protocol you want to in it. So if I wanted to self-host and have my own IRC, I could do that. Or if somebody wanted to host on, you know, a Buzzsprout and or RSS.com and then, but have their chat point to y'all, to SoundStack, you know, they could do that too. So you don't, it's like, I don't think it's a violation of any sort of decentralization points to have centralized services.
So basically then the SoundStack would be the source of truth of sorts. It would be basically the repository, and then everything would be pulling into that.
Yeah. I mean, especially, well, you know, and chat is a sort of different animal than comments and that kind of thing as well, because chat is just ephemeral by nature. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but 90% of the time it is. People don't expect chat to necessarily like stick around forever. When I go back and watch a video, a YouTube live, the experience of when it was live, that experience has already passed. And nobody's watching the comments, or very few people are watching the comments a year later on an old YouTube video. They're just watching the video.
Right.
And so, yeah. But the live experience, it came and it went. So you could within a live experience have a chat where you then archive the chat off into a time encoded file and play it back later. That's totally, you could do that. But most of the time people are just wanting it for the duration of the live event or whatever it is. And so for that, you know, what you're hosting, you know, at SoundStack or wherever, what you would be hosting is just a temporary room that spins up, does its job, and then just goes away. And so like that could be a service that, you know, people pay for, that it's like, well, I just want to, every time I, you know, whenever I do an episode, I want to have a chat room that goes with it for a while and then it goes away. Sort of like the same with streaming. Like,
yeah,
you fire up a live stream for a little while and then you disconnect and you're not live streaming anymore.
No, and I think that's something that we can definitely look at. I just don't like the resources. This is where I get over my skis, as I like to say, is that, you know, we already can spin up, you know, and do streams that are like for live shows like this. So we already kind of do that. And it seems like it would be something that would be within the wheelhouse, because it'd be very similar to what we're doing, which is basically, you know, having those moments. Because I do think that's really the key to kind of unlocking a lot of this and I know a lot of people, I mean, I would say even like back in the, well, SoundCloud's still around, but one of the things I did like was their visual commenting. I don't know if you guys remember that on their actual linear player that they would have, like, where you comment
had really points
small,
or whatever.
You got it. Which I thought was really an interesting visual way of seeing, okay, these were the hot points of kind of like a podcast. And then you can see commenting. It kind of made commenting a little bit more lasting, because it also had that visual element. And so I think there's definitely a lot that we could be doing. I think that, you know, by moving it forward is, you know, how do we get, you know, the industry to understand, because it really benefits everybody. What does chatting not benefit? It makes it more community-based, more stick. I would say now the people who would not benefit would probably be the ones who are not obviously doing live. And that's where maybe commenting becomes a little bit more important to them. Like, I would say the shows who are not doing these type of interview-based type of shows.
But even on your player pages that you have, and the apps that you bake for people, I mean, it would be perfect there too. I mean, it seems like something that would be good for any type of live stream environment, regardless of whether it's in a podcast app or not.
I would agree. I mean, I would say, like, what do you guys think the challenge is? Like, for instance, like trying to promote podcasting 2.0 more. I mean, how do we kind of get the larger PIC to understand the value of what's going on within, you know, podcasting 2.0 and the Podcast Standards Project? Is it having more panels at, you know, Podcast Movement? Or I'm trying to figure out the angle here to kind of help bring together the industry a little bit better.
Well, my opinion is you just publish. The more people are publishing with these new tags, the more people in development rooms look at it and go, huh, what could I do with this? It's doing it from the top down is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, yeah, Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I agree. And this is one of the reasons why podcasting, the 2.0 project has had success over the last 5 years, is because the hosting companies jumped in and were early adopters when there was very few apps that supported these features. They jumped in and said, okay, we're going to do, you know, we're going to put this and this tag into our feeds. We're going to declare the namespace, and then we're going to put in, you know, chapters, transcripts, sound bites, and, you know, maybe a couple more. And there's some company, I mean, like Blueberry, they dove in with, I mean, they went all the way, the head, hair wet, all the way under, you know, I mean, they went in with the full rundown of every single tag, and they bet the farm of development time on that content. And then now you have this wealth of content. And when you have a humongous wealth of content, it's just like, it's like corn in a field for developers. They can't resist. You know, they have to go, they see all this content and they think, oh man, I could do such cool things with chapter tags or this and this and this and this. So I think it's like bait. You know, you're baiting developers to come do cool stuff. And so, like, thinking about SoundStack, you know, I mean, y'all's wheelhouse is obviously live streaming. I mean, you do a bunch of stuff, but the ability to spin up a live stream, throw the live, you know, item tag into a feed, and then that kind of stuff. That one, it's like when you start doing it from the content side, the apps just like, it's like they salivate. The developers want to do cool stuff with that thing. And so I think that's the only way we have been successful. All the attempts at marketing, man, they've always been a mixed bag. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people have tried to market, and the Podcast Standards Project has done, you know, they've done, the work they've done really is just pulling themselves together. They have done marketing, but like the reason that things get adopted is not because somebody tells you to, it's because developers begin to do things. And then one person sees another person do it. When, you know, the biggest inflection points has been when, Apple adopted transcripts, when Pocket Casts started adopting open source tags, podcasting 2.0 tags, these have been like when one, so then, you know, and then like Transistor adopted the social interact tag, Buzzsprout adopted Pod Roll, and then Pocket Cast picked it up. The, you know, RSS.com and a couple of others put in the value tag. And then, you know, Fountain started ingesting that. There's like somebody will do something and then somebody else sees it and picks it up and runs with it. And so, you know, I'm not saying that marketing is useless in this regard, but it's like what really happens is people in the industry seeing other people in the industry do things. And because it is, you know, there's a little bit of competition factor. Where, you know, they have this feature and we need to have it too. There's a little bit of that, but I think it's less of that and more of, especially now that the Podcast Standards Project has sort of really united a lot of the feelings around moving the industry forward. I think there really is a sort of like shared ideal between the Podcast Standards Project participants, where they really do all want to move the industry forward. And that means that they're sort of marketing to apps now, saying, here, we're now, so, you know, we're supporting this tag and this tag and this tag. Please come do something with it now. So I think that's where the voice, maybe that's where the voices become important, because you can say, you know, hey, developers, we're giving you cool stuff. Let's see what you can do with it.
And then I would say it's the app's job then to translate that to the listener value.
Yes. Yeah. 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 But without the publishing part, it never happens.
Agreed.
This, you have to be pushing it. You have to be publishing. That's why transcripts went through, because everybody jumped on transcripts. I think there's a reasonable selection that does the cloud-based chapters. But I think really... the ones that we've been pushing is the funding tag right now, because there's been such a phenomenal change in the app stores.
Yep.
Which is a big, big deal. And, I don't know, Dave, how many companies push the funding tag? I guess we could look.
It's quite a few. I mean, it's one of the more adopted tags.
Take a look as well. Cause we have stats for this, Rocky. Yeah, we have podcastindex.org. Let me see.
Okay. Where's the funding? We doing hosting or apps? What are we doing?
Hosting.
Okay. You'll see Cast Garden, Blueberry, PowerPress, Sovereign Feeds, Pod Home, RSS Blue, RSS.com, Castapod, Captivate.
Quite a few, actually.
Yeah. Transistor, Buzzsprout, Dystopia, Fireside, yeah. Red Circle. I mean, it's like tons. Yeah. Tons.
So that pods are, that will eventually start surfacing. I'm pretty sure, at least I hope some of the 2.0 apps are going to do a better job of it. A lot of them already show it in a good place. And the tag also allows you to determine text. So you can say, instead of just being a generic button, it can be, you know, can be some text in there, like give to our show or donate or buy me lunch, whatever you want to put in there. So that's one. And then I think at this point we should, at least I'll just, whenever I mention the lit tag for live, I think along with that has to come chat. Somehow, yeah. Some form of chat. Just, and I think, do I put something in our chat tag for this show? Let me see.
I keep scrolling up and down the podcasting, the podcastapps.com list. I'm just not seeing SoundStack on here.
Yeah, what's wrong with those people?
I know you declare the feed and you use tags. What, somebody's got to give us a pull request.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to put yourself on the site.
So I'm looking at Sovereign Feeds. I don't think there's a, I thought there was a chat thing in there.
He used to be using the chat attribute on but I think he switched to use the chat tag. I thought he did.
I don't see it. Let me see. Find. Let's see. Chat. Nope. It's not in there anymore. Huh. There it is. Now there it is. Under live item status equals live. There you go. Chat equals IRC0node.net. So we're publishing it. Mm. But of course, you know, in that case, the app would have to understand IRC, would have to become an IRC client. And IRC is anything but friendly when it comes to newbies.
Yeah, I would say that if I'm remembering on the IRC, why it kind of went out of favor was more of, like, exploitation, if I'm remembering correctly. I'm going back.
It wasn't enough porn. That was the problem.
I wasn't going to say that, but that's a good way.
Yeah. Welcome to the boys club.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. It's like, there's never a room at, you know, line at the bathroom. So I'm used to it. So it's like, I'm always like, have it to myself, but it's, I think as IRC, you're right. It's not the most user-friendly, but I would say it's not the hardest either. I mean, I've seen worse.
Well, the registration part is where it becomes difficult. And I mean, running an IRC server, that's the problem, because you think it's like, oh, I'm just running an IRC server. Then you get net splits and people hijacking your channel if you don't register it. And all the commands are command line, like, what? You know, it's like.
Well, I would say the first group to do this, like what you said, centralize this in a way that makes it easy for people to do it. Whatever protocol that gets picked for that, that just becomes sort of the default.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's XMPP, you know, who know, because that's the old Jabber protocol. It's a very simple protocol. It's not complicated, but there could be there's a ton out there that you still need
an XRPP server XMPP. Somewhere.
Yeah. But XMPP. You can spin one of those up. That's not the end of the world. Yeah. You know?
Right. Well,
but it's the first person that does it, it just becomes the de facto.
Well, but that's not true, because we've been publishing the IRC in our chat and it has become nothing.
Well, but it works for our show.
But our show. No one's logging in through any podcast app and using it.
Well, probably because the podcast apps, what they're doing is just
ignoring it.
Clicking. No. Well, some of them are, but like what, like think, I think what Podverse does is just opens up a web view.
Yes. Yeah.
But if it's done right with the chat tag, then you're integrating at a protocol level, and at that point you can actually, like, if you look at the podcast index side, you know, if you go to, I think it's this show, See, podcasting 2.0. Yeah. If you go to our show, you know, there's the comments are posted at the bottom of each episode.
Right. That's the social interact tag.
Right. And it's threaded comments that are attached to each episode if you hit show comments. And that's pulling off a decentralized activity pub.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that the same thing can happen. That's an integration, whereas what's happening with the chat in apps is mostly just sort of like open a web page with IRC on it. But if it was more like this, if it was more like a true integration, then that would just become the de facto standard, I think. But also because a lot of the early adopter apps are going to be are open source as well. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And Podverse, AntennaPod, and so you would also maybe get libraries out of that. And we could do that as well. We could integrate it directly into the website.
Yeah.
I just think there'd be a lot, there's a lot there.
There is a lot there. And I mean, I'm even thinking in the back of my head is like the gamification of your highest donators and, how you could utilize that even within the chat as well. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's so many ways that you could, if they're like similar to like how you do Adam on No Agenda, where you have your different, levels of supporters. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing what a little icon next to your name does.
Okay. So true fans, and look at True Fans and look at Fountain.
Yeah,
both of them are integrating commenting. They're integrating live chat and commenting heavily. Fountain's doing it with Noster. True Fans is doing it internally and then publishing it out with ActivityPub. So other, they're not. Well, Fountain is. I was about to say they're not doing hosting. Fountain is doing hosting now that they've done the integration with RSS Blue. But I think, those are examples of true integration that has happened at the app level. And so if we can just sort of like pull back from that and give them the thing they need, then they can show it in app without even having to do anything.
Well,
they
get it for free. So it'll take the PSP group to start publishing those tags because that's the problem right there. It has to come from the hosting companies. Hosting companies have to make it, have to make this field available and give the people some options to use. And then the apps, it just always happens that way. Once you start publishing, then the apps will follow. That just seems to always be the way. Well,
when you back, so like, and for the hosting side, it doesn't really matter. And I've said this, I feel like I've said this 100 times. It doesn't really matter what you do internally. Because you can have your own system internally as long as you publish in an open standards way. Like, so you could have your own internal system for chat and that is whatever you want it to be. But as long as you put it in the feed as a chat tag and then make it accessible through a protocol that other people understand, through an open standards protocol, That's all it takes. Like you can really just slice and dice this thing however you want. Well, I tried to do, I did this with the MK Ultra thing was a year and a half ago.
And, right.
Which was basically a hacked up version of Helipad to be an ephemeral chat server. And that code still exists. You can use that. It was Noster based, but it still exists. And it'll, it can give you a temporary chat room and then it just goes away. So that was even before we had the chat tag. So it would actually make even more sense now. But, that could have gone out, even though it was Noster internally, it can go out as ActivityPub or anything. I just think there's so many ways to do this.
Well, I think it's a good thing to focus on because, if we got funding, which already has a lot of adoption, that's good. And the apps can follow suit, and particularly for value for value. And it just seems like a no brainer to me. And I think True Fans really has that one figured out, and Fountain is doing a version of that. Then if you have the lit tag combined with chat and Podping, that's another important one. You know, Rocky, to answer your question more directly, if you set it up so that there is a session or something that is, because Dave and Adam, we're very unorganized. This is our brand. Okay. This is our brand. Uh-huh. We are anything but organized. And so in fact, we have, Godcaster, we have Gordon, and he's organized, and, you know, and he organizes us, and it's fantastic. So if at any point you think there's a conference where we can have an organized discussion, I'd love to do it with you. I would come out for that. I mean, the thing.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, Adam. Actually, I do have an opportunity.
Did I just walk right into it?
Totally walked into it. So, hey, you put me on the hot seat. I'll put you on your. So we do have SoundSack. We have sponsored a stage, and with that, we do get what I call airtime. We get a panel, and we are willing to give that to podcasting 2.0. And Adam, you know where it's at because you were just there for NRB.
Oh, is it Nashville?
Yeah, it's at the Gaylord and the Texan Gaylord in Dallas.
Oh yeah. Oh, and when is this? This is what conference?
It's the podcast movement.
Well, would you do it with me?
Yeah. And I would do it with you if anybody else, I mean, whoever else we think would be, you know, additive to that conversation would absolutely love to have it. And I think it would.
Screw that. Just you and me, baby. We don't need anybody else. Don't convolute it. No. Hey, you got the top dog, top billing here. We're not going to water it down with anybody else.
I would love it because I think that it's really good. I know that's more of the PIC. It's becoming more of that side of it. But I also think that a lot of folks don't understand the power of what they're missing. And I've been trying to explain it and I am not as geeky. I'm geeky to a point, but I am not as geeky as you guys. And I just want to help build this industry and get all the great content out there and make it's really about the listeners. I mean, at the end of the day, it's that community around the listeners. And we're doing so many cool things and we're not giving them any place to give us feedback and talk to them. It's like we're very much broadcast right now where it's a, mm-hmm. you know, we are going, mm-hmm. we're telling them, but we're not getting it back. And I think the platforms, social and everything else, it's that too. Even if we make chat into comments, I mean, because you have to understand, chat's not going to be great for every single podcast. And I'm not saying we have to be over inclusive and making a solution that works with everybody because that's ridiculous. It's never going to work. But I do think that even, you know, like chat that goes to comments where people can go ahead and even have, I remember when I had an internet radio station, we used to run BBSs. I'm totally dating myself.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure. Right on.
I mean, like virtual BBS and all this other ones. And yes, they would totally get hacked all the time, but it's like, that's the hard thing is the moderation of it. But even in a linear station where it was a metal station and people just like, I want to talk about Dream Theater, you know, some, you know, like, you know, crazy sweet. Epic.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. 8 minute songs, you know, dear God. God goes on forever.
That's a lot of time to chat.
But it's crazy because I look at Reddit. Reddit's basically is nothing but a commenting, you know, bulletin board system. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if there's a way that we can make a commenting, a chat to comment, or even just comments on podcasts that really don't have that live element, but are still quite good in what they're doing and the storytelling and everything else, I think it could be, I think of all the economic podcasts, and if I had the opportunity to kind of like suss out some things that I'm thinking, I think it'd be really cool, even if it's not in life.
Here's what I'd say. So just remembering back 5 years now, I think, Dave, going back to the early days when we were just starting up with the podcast index and it was excitement and people are talking about tags. And the big problem for app developers in general, and even with the social interact tag, is moderation. And so we can't have moderators. No one can afford it. It's a huge pain in the butt. What I love about IRC is the ephemeral nature of it. You can say the most horrible things and it's gone. You know,
it just
goes away. And I think that's perfect for podcasting, even beyond YouTube, because, you know, then you get, I think this is what's holding app developers back is, well, then, you know, someone wants to have the comments turned off and where does that happen? And, you know, someone says something slanderous, it's in my system. I mean, these are all the problems of, that come with decentralization. And so I'm kind of thinking like, wow, you know, and by the way, the fountain guys don't care. They're fine. They use Noster, and Noster is, you know, it's out there. There's no takesies backsies. It's done. You can't delete it. Yeah. It's permanent, which is also okay. But I really love the idea of something that just goes away. So you're interacting with people, you're shouting, cause that's what it is. No agenda, and the same with the boardroom. It's a live studio audience. And I've developed my peripheral vision. I take in what's going on in the chat room, and sometimes it's hurtful, irksome, you know, infuriating. But I know it's gone. It's like in 20 more lines, it's going to be gone. It'll be out of view. And I think if we can just get something like that started, man, that would be so dynamite. Well,
I would say get that started. And then I would say on the commenting side, moderation is actually quite cheap with AI now.
Oh, don't get me started.
I threw it out there. I know you're
used to throwing Molotov cocktails in the boardroom. Yeah, on the way out.
So much
holy
for podcast movement appearances. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not that I agree. I'm just saying there's ways they can do it. Because I do remember even when I used to run the internet radio stations, run metal stations. And I would agree with you. It was a lot of moderation in the BBSs where I was just, it took a lot of time. Oh my gosh, a lot. I think, but I do agree with you. I mean, because I think chat is going to basically help drive live item tags. That's going to help drive streaming. Not that I want to kill the download by any means, but I just think it's going to start going away much like, I think we're going to become more like, you know, video where if I'm going to be hopping on a plane and I want to, I'll download it because I'm going to be offline, so to speak, you know, that's kind of going away at this point. Cause I mean, I was noticing that on my long haul flight coming back from Europe that actually United was allowing me to download podcasts, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah. So they're opening it up. I don't think I could do full blown, you know, like high definition video, but I think it's such a light type of agent. It's not really that big of a deal. So I do see that, you know, we still have progressive downloads. I mean, I think the next iteration is going to be some form of streaming. I don't think it's going to be all of it, but I definitely think it's going to move towards that as we kind of get that. And I'm not saying that downloads are going away because I'm putting salve on my back from like talking about it at the IEB because everybody's like, yo, the download. I'm like, guys, I know. I'm just saying in the future, we got to think about the future.
So when is podcast movement in Dallas?
Man, I knew you're going to ask me this. Okay.
Well, how unprepared are you? I mean, you've got me on the hook now.
I do have you on the hook. It's August. Let's see. I think it's August 18th. Yeah. The week of August 18th through.
Good. That's a good. Yeah.
I would say most of the stuff works. I would say most of the panels are on the 19th and 20th would be pretty much the core of it. So
20th. Yes. 19th and 20th possible. 21, not possible.
Okay. Then we'll just make sure it's on the 19th or the 20th. I got the pool. I'll make it happen.
I know you do.
Dallas is so close. You can ride up there on your e-bike.
Dude, I'm going to fly in. I'm going to be cool. I'm going to fly myself in.
Oh, you for the Cessna?
Yeah, okay. Cessna. Excuse me.
The G2? I'm sorry.
The G4.
Yeah. G4. Okay.
G4 SR22 G4 Turbo, baby. Yeah. I mean, it's a rental, but still.
It's a rental.
Yeah, but we're definitely willing to do that because I think it's just, and plus, I mean, you don't come out that often, Adam. I'll be honest with you.
No, I don't because the last time we did podcast movement, they shoved us in a back room during lunch and like, congratulations, no marketing, no nothing. Just, you know why? Because we weren't paying for it. That's why.
I have spoken at every single podcast movement. I don't know if I want to like, and I think it's because I just have really like geeky conversations. And so I know you're like, I was trying to do ad insertion back in like, I don't know, 2016. And, you know, I think it was me and Rob Greeley and like five people in like a broom closet. So I definitely understand how that kind of goes. So, but I think it's ready for it's, you know, it's like, you know, debutante ball, so to speak. I think it's ready. I think it's now gotten to the point, not that what we have been doing for, you know, 4 to 5 years is at loss. I think now is the time that we're going to start seeing that people, it's going to start clicking for people. I mean, it's clicking.
You just need a clickbaity title. This the title of the session is why the download is dead or something.
Oh, dear goodness.
Something that's just going to piss everybody off.
Yeah.
It's the PIC. You have to throw a bomb to get attention
That's true.
Hey, not that there's anything wrong. Some of my best friends are PIC.
It's something it's got to be something more like why you're not making the most money possible from your podcast.
Yeah, yeah. 20 tips to hack your podcast monetization.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm very glad that you agreed to that because what we wanted to do was something that was different. And because I think everybody's over, if I hear one more, you know, panel or any or discussion about video, I might shoot my wrist. You know, and programmatic, as much as I love it, and I've been doing it for a while, I just feel that it's still there. It's just the train is kind of rode. I think it's ready to have some more invigoration on something that's around content and really driving the industry together.
Yes.
With everything. So I'm very excited.
Rocky,
about this, so.
You and me, how tall are you? If you don't mind me asking.
Oh, I am 5'4". I am not a big woman.
Okay.
At all.
We're going to be sitting down. We'll be sitting down because otherwise we're the odd couple. We'll be sitting down, but we'll do demos. We'll talk. I mean, you're super exciting to listen. We'll stream it live. We'll do it lit. We'll specifically invite C Brooklyn 112 to talk horrible things in the chat room and Cotton Gin and all these guys to say horrible, horrible things. I'll bring along the Boostagram sign that Boobery made so people can make it light up different with their different boosts. We'll make it awesome.
Oh, I'm excited. I that's exactly what I want to do. And I think that this is perfect timing. I really do. I think it's good timing in the industry right now. And I think it's time to kind of like to really push this. I think I'm that in. People best, are going to understand
in.
It.
I'm in. All
the right. best part of this is that you have to do it and I don't have to. That's the best part of this whole thing.
Well, there you go. But I really appreciate the invitation, although I kind of invited myself.
I know. I was hoping you were going to ask or I was going to put you on the spot. So you kind of made the opening really easy for me. So that's good.
No, it's perfect because, you know, it's paid. So we know that we'll get promotion. Yep. That's a great part. And you know, and we'll come up with a funny time. You're a dynamic speaker. So it'll be fun. We'll have, it'll be the one where people go, oh man, were you at that session with Curry and Thomas?
Yes.
Really? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Rocky and Adam. Yeah. Rocky and Adam. Yeah. There you go. And I'm going to start
that's like a morning show.
Rocky Thomas. Rocky Thomas.
Yeah. And Adam Curry. Yeah. I'll be your sidekick. It's perfect.
It's the morning show. It's the morning show.
It'll be really good. And I think it's a, I think this is what we need to be doing. So more of this type of stuff. I know you don't come out that, and Dave, no. I don't know if you ever leave. I don't think you ever leave Alabama, but it's,
I've never left this house.
That's exactly okay. Right. That's okay. I'm fine being, you know, being the facing person of this. And I think the goal is really to translate a lot of what we're doing. And I think what you probably did at the NRB with Godcaster was probably a lot of it. It's just really like seeing the application of it. Cause I think a lot of people just think it's the geek people in this tech bubble and we don't understand it. And I want to show the possible, you know, it really comes down to increased consumption community, take an old term stickiness, making sure that people are really staying with your content. And then whatever you want to do, value for value, advertising, it all benefits at the end of the day. And that's the goal of it, is to constantly make sure this industry is here in 5 years.
Do it all. That's the mistake I made.
That is a hard thing because there's so many things to talk about.
Yeah, well, my session, the session that me and Adam did that we got stuck in the back room after lunch was, you know, Adam did like, you know, a 10 minute intro. And then I did the whole rest of the session trying to go through like 20 tags in 30 minutes. And it was horrible. Difficult. It was like a head snapper, you know, that was a bad decision. Yeah.
Rocky, I'll tell you what, if you don't mind just hanging on for a little bit, we're going to thank some people. And I want you to go look at your Fountain app and tell me that
been looking in the background. It's been quite exciting. I'm getting stuff.
Getting stuff.
You're getting stuff? Money, baby. That's money. That's money in the pocket. Isn't that cool, though, how it just comes in? Click, 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 click.
It is very cool. And I have to say thank you to everybody who has given me stats. I'm very... it's very kind, and I'm very grateful. So very cool.
So
which I will give to everybody else. And I have stats in there. I'm very excited.
I'm glad you did this, because and you'll see it, because it only become more when we publish the show. You know, this is the live sats, but when people start listening, you'll just see it. You'll be like, wow, where did I get this $100 from all of a sudden?
Which is great. I'll just recirculate it back into the industry, which is great. That's fun stuff.
So Booth that came in live during the show, Lyceum 100 sats. Great to hear. 1776, a freedom boost from Lyceum as well. Rocky is rocking the show. Go podcasting. Liberty and freedom of expression. Best premises. That's Martin Lindeskog, by the way, Lyceum. Mike Dell comes in from Castomatic, which now does the Live and Lit, which we love. And he says, hi, Rocky. 1234 Satoshi. Sam from True Fans, coming in from True Fans. 777. We can't wait for the PSP or existing hosts like Fountain. We will be a host and app and implement live chat and video by HLS. Sam's going to do all. Sam and the kitchen. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Sethi and the kitchen sink. Yes, it's the band you always wanted to see. Bob Rathmel. That sounds like a new person to me. Bob Rathmel. Have you heard Bob Rathmel before, Dave?
Oh, defragging.
You've been defragmented.
And he's coming in from Podverse, and he says, interesting discussion. All right.
Okay, great.
Is that like saying I have a good personality?
Yeah, exactly. She's got a great personality. 1,000 sats from Cole McCormick. He says, this is a bit off topic, but I want the boardroom to know one of the largest YouTubers ever, PewDiePie, put out a video this week about how much he hates Google and has been self-hosting his passwords using Linux and transitioning to Graphene OS for his phone. The conversation of openness and decentralization is growing rapidly. If PewDiePie's on it, yeah, definitely. Although I just saw the Graphene OS guys flipping out the other day because ASOP, that's the...
Yeah, the non-Google.
Yeah, so they're removing support for Pixel devices.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty much the only thing that Graphene really runs well on.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah,
but well, goodbye, Graphene.
You know what that's a move, man. That's a move. That's what they do over there. Harv Hat 777, just a boost, he says. Thank you very much. And a 7777 from Harv Hat. And he says, just like magic. And he's coming in from the Boost CLI. And that's that heavenly sound you heard earlier, Rocky. That's when someone sends in... 7777. We've rigged all this stuff, man. I mean, it's like
you got triggers.
Yeah, exactly. So when someone sends a boost, the boost bot may be broken, but it'll show up in the chat, and there's all kinds of cool stuff we developed that just needs to be implemented by Live 365.
Wired up.
Sounds that. 1821 from Pfeiffer. He says, cue Eye of the Tiger, Rocky Boost. There you go. Never heard that one before. Bitpunk.fm 424, boosting the log man. Yeah, there we go. And a confirmation from Salty Crayon. He got the bat signal. And I have one more here, 2222 from the ugly quacking duck. It's Bruce. I have a Carhartt wallet. Does that count? It seems to have trouble hanging on to any fiat currency I put in it.
Nah.
I'm using the Albi Hub. Started with Albi Wallet in the beginning. Enjoyed your... Oh, this is from last week. Franco. Go podcasting. Thanks again. Oh, yeah. I'm using Chapters 2. LOL. 73s. And with that, I believe I have hit the delimiter. So you're up, my friend.
We had such a good show last week with Franco that we got no PayPals. Zero.
Zero. Way to go, Franco. Yeah. Can't wait to have you on again.
Yeah, look for the call.
Boost!
C-Lot, but we did get some boosts. C-Lot's on Linux, 1234 through Fountain. He says, Franco was a good guest. Yeah. Thank you, C-Lot. Appreciate it. I agree. Concur, except for the donations. C-Loss on Linux again, 1234 through Fountain. He says, can we just accept that Keysend is over and concentrate on getting everything set up again? It was one step wrong while running with scissors. Feels like we need to recover quickly.
I think it's happening. I think things are happening. At least
I don't think you burn it and start over. I think you just it's a transition
to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a transition.
Well, you know, 90% of the sats come from Fountain, and they've transitioned. They are a trans app, in fact.
They're a trans app, yes.
And Fountain, from now on, to be known as they, them.
Mm-hmm. Chris Lass.
Yeah.
From Jupiter Broadcasting.
Jupiter Broadcasting.
20,000 sats.
Very nice. Thank you so much, yes. Chris.
Through Fountain. Okay, so make sense out of this one. Chris Lass. 20,000 sats through Fountain. He says, so excited about Lit supporting Cast-O-Matic. Great work. He sent it through Fountain.
Well, there you go.
Chris, he's just a cheerleader. He's just excited.
Yes, that's good. That's good. This Week in Bitcoin is my always go-to podcast. I love that podcast.
And the Delimiter Comic Strip blogger, CSB, 14,010 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Fediverse is full of skeptics, to put it mildly. And I'm being asked there, quote, which is worser, The Keeper Show or MoFax, unquote. And I say it's unfair because the MoFax podcast is no mo. So I again recommend a podcast from www.curryandthekeeper.com. Oi, Bitcoin bros, from Podcasting 2.0 community, please send Bitcoin grams to Curry and the Keeper podcast. Evangelical pastors and I, a dumb Polack, cannot bear the burden of donating Bitcoin there forever. Yo, CSB.
Thank you, CSB. I love that he just promotes other podcasts all the time. That is, he's a special place for him in heaven.
We got some monthlies. Michael Goggin, $5. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. Jordan Dunville, $10. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Chris Bernardick, $5. And Dreb Scott, $15.
Thank you all very much. If you want to support the podcastindex.org project, which is where all of these funds go to, go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom, there's a big red donate button. You can send us your fiat fund coupons that way. But of course, we love the boosts, which also go directly into the podcast index node. And Daniel J, if I need to have your full node to be able to open up liquidity to you. I posted on the Mastodon, but I guess it didn't see it. Because we're happy to give you liquidity. We're happy to open up a channel to you. And thank you again for supporting Podcasting 2.0. And Rocky, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. Long overdue. And
This is too much fun. I mean, I might have to make this like a gig, you know, come on. It's fun.
Well, yeah, you'll have to come back so we can promote our appearance at Podcast
That's
Movement.
That's right.
Yes. Now, where do I get my glossies? Do I send those to you and my my bio and all that
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I'll have my people talk to your people, yes.
Okay, well, I know you have people. That's the best part. Rocky, you do most of your stuff yourself. I've seen you.
Yeah, I do. Know what you do. I do. Because it's riddled full of errors, so you can definitely tell AI is not doing it.
So. All right, so what are you doing this weekend, Rocky?
This weekend, I'm probably working wood.
Okay. She's working wood. Man to
show
woodworker. There, working wood with log man. There we go.
We burn 10 cords of wood a year. So we drop trees and I'm splitting wood and stacking it most likely. So,
Man, you're like trad wife almost. I'm going to burn some wood.
We like to call ourselves technics. Yeah. Technology rednecks.
Technics. Another title. Oh my God. This is out of control. Out of control. Brother Dave, have yourself a great weekend.
You too, bro.
And thank you very much, board meeting. Rocky, thanks again. We really appreciate you.
My pleasure.
I look forward to Podcast Movement in Dallas in August. And we'll be back next week right here, Podcasting 2.0. See you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
This doesn't make any sense. I'm freaking out inside.